everyone is a star child, made of stardust and the infinite potential of the universe. This extraordinary, fearless something in each of us clamors for freedom from the bonds of fear, conformity, and an ordinary life. Welcome to Dr. Durr's Living in the Sweet Spot, where practical tools and solutions from the intersection of mind-body medicine, science, and spiritual well-being awaken and empower you to live out your infinite potential, to live life in the sweet spot.
We live in a world filled with conflict. There are wars on different continents, military exercises near neighboring countries that heighten our alert and our sense of threat. And then there's also the conflicts that we experience with friends and family and neighbors. And a lot of folks really kind of think that this is actually due to the overwhelming predominance of masculine energy, and without the balance and the value that feminine energy brings to the table. So what do we do about this? How do we create a world that's joint world custody between men and women through harmony? So joining me to have that conversation is my special guest, Dr. Pauline Crawford.
Hi there.
Hello. Hello. You know, it's so wonderful to see you. You know, I am such a huge fan of yours. And I think the work that you do is so needed. So welcome to the show. Again, so glad to have you.
I'm absolutely delighted to be here. I love talking about conflict and harmony, so it's my favorite place to be. And I adore what you're doing, and I love the idea of living in a sweet spot. That would be absolutely perfect.
Yeah, and you know, the thing that I've discovered through my own journey is the fact that while we may seek to live in the sweet spot, I think the truth of the reality is the sweet spot lives in us. You know, and if we could learn to live from that space, then of course, a lot of the internal conflict, which then gets expressed outwardly and becomes external conflict, I think that it would be, we could manage it much better. And in many respects, it wouldn't even occur, right? Because of that, you know, I call it my spiritual self relating to your spiritual self, and finding that seeing that we're both sacred, seeing that it's all sacred, and then how do we find common ground in the recognition and acceptance of that sacredness of all things and living from that place?
Absolutely. And I'd like to alert you to something, that the word sacred and scared is the same number of letters, exactly the same letters in a different order. Have you ever thought about that? So when we find this sacred place, for a lot of people, it's quite scary. And yet it is sacred. And that within us is the only thing that we own, truly own.
Well, you know what? You brought up a great point, one that I have never considered, which not only are the same number of letters, but they're just actually the same letters, but in a different order.
Yes.
And the C and the R are kind of in different places.
That's the thing, is that for me, words are so important. And I'm dyslexic, so very often when I want to type sacred, it comes out scared because the letters come out in a different order. And I look at it and I think, oh, that's interesting. But I think also it's okay to be not okay. That's the other thing, that we're in such a conflicting war world, and even at home or in the business world, that sometimes it's okay just to say still and remind ourselves to be out of scared into sacred. Switch the letters.
Yeah, that's great, because when we disconnect from our sacred self, then we become scared and then act out of that.
Absolutely. And I think everybody could be prone to that. But I do think women feel very vulnerable in the world today. And I'm not decrying that, some men might be as well, but the majority of women live in a very scary state of feeling that they're not heard. And I think that's the thing, is I always think about, whose body have I got? I've got my own. I always say to my audiences, whose body did you bring today? Do you know a lot about it? Because I think, we spend a lot of our life wondering what the hell we're walking around in.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that has a lot to do with the fact that oftentimes we are disconnected from ourselves, in mind and in thought and in recognition. But I tell you what, before we go further into this conversation, let me share with folks your illustrious background. Dr. Pauline Crawford is a global citizen, both in where she's lived and where she's worked. And she has 30 years of global experience and is dedicated to enhancing business success. And I think personal connection also, through authentic connections and performance excellence. She's the Chief Vision Officer of Corporate Heart International and G100 Global Chair for Authentic Harmony and Positive Masculinity. And she has a number of initiatives that create harmonious and productive workplace cultures. And she is also the author of The Power of Authentic Harmony. Her global vision includes establishing a joint custody world where men and women collaboratively nurture business and life. Her mission is to foster business and community environments where women and men thrive together, promoting healthy, heart-centered leadership and wellness cultures.
That's it. That's me.
It absolutely is you. And, one of the I think is maybe the cornerstone of your work is what you call magical conversations. So tell us more about that.
Well, I would love to, because for me, if we could all have magical conversations every day, how wonderful that would be. And in very simple terms, a magical conversation is one where there's no anger and there's no criticism and no judgment. It's a place of sharing, it's a place of caring, and it's a place of ease, because when you're in that space, you are contributing and speaking, but you're listening. And the space is the space between you and other people. I always see a magical conversation as in that space, and we are participating in that space. And it's a shift from communication and transactional conversations. We have those every day. So the magic is that we don't know what's going to happen. But like magic, you have to believe that it's possible.
Well, you know what, Dr. Pauline, is that famous philosopher and poet James Brown said, "It's a man's world, it's a man's world. It would be nothing without a woman or a girl."
Yes.
So, in that truth, then, so how did we end up here with so much conflict and so much dominance of male energy and the resulting conflict and disharmony? How do we end up here?
Several reasons why we've ended up here, but I think one that's very important is that at the beginning of time, and not beyond 2,000 years, but 2,000 years enough, men have designed the world for all of us to live in. And I mean, I'm not saying that with a criticism or anything, it's just the way it is, that the masculine blueprint of the world has constructed the way we are. And as every woman knows, we fought for a place in that man's world for the last 100 years at least. And we did it by fighting for the vote. And in the days of 100 years ago, men would say, why are women wanting to change the natural order? Now, you've got to take that on board, that that's what they believed. And to be honest, we won a few battles, but we haven't won the war. So what we've got now is that we are women who want to be heard. We're half of the world, but, you know, a high percentage of women in the world are mothers. I think it's something like 3.2 billion women in the world, 2.2 are mothers. And that changes our life trajectory. So we have a different, if we had started at the beginning, we would have created a different blueprint and put men in that. So my view is that we need to really change the strategy and look at what is and what can be different. Because there are certain rules that we need to follow. I mean, a classic one is what you do on the road. So I live in America, so I drive on the right. When I'm in England, I drive on the left. Mm-hmm. If I said, right, I'm going to drive on the left in America, I might have some serious accidents. So there are certain things that are said, but there is a lot that isn't suitable for what women actually want today. So coming from that point of view, we want to be very sure about our own sense of self in the world and our sense of competency, and somehow acknowledge some of the things that men have laid down, which they don't know how to get past. So I think a lot of men don't actually know what it would be like if women actually had designed the world along a woman-centric perspective. And this is where conversations come in, because generally, and I've done a lot of research with men, men think that women chatter unnecessarily. So, you know, when we talk about really amazing conversations, men don't necessarily enter those in the same way as women do. So having a conversation in a mixed group is very different to men in a group on their own or women in a group on their own. So we need to really look at the nature of that conversation space. So when I said the space is both sacred and scary, it's actually scary for men as well, because sometimes they just don't know what's going on. And sometimes we over-talk things. However, if we set the scene correctly so everybody feels like they're going to grow, I believe we can deal with even the most difficult topic. And the most difficult topic, to be honest, is violence and abuse and war, because that's where there's always taking sides. So if we could enter a conversation without judgment, it doesn't mean to say we're going to be walked over. What we're doing is we're sharing perspectives, and we may not agree, or we may disagree and walk away, or we may disagree and hug. You know, I think there's a different energy in the world now, and I would like women to really stand into their true natural competency and learn to say, no, we're not going to continue with war and abuse and violence. It's not right, and it's not productive.
I think that the core of what you're speaking of is anytime there's a lack of recognition and acceptance that everyone and everything has value, then that sense of separation, i.e. superiority or inferiority, then causes people to engage in behaviors of domination, right? Exploitation that then, of course, are going to throw things, you know, out of balance. You know, I'll ask someone, is your heart better than your kidneys? And the answer, of course, is no, because you could have 5 hearts and no kidneys and your body is still dead. So because everything has a design and a purpose. And so it's not that something is better as much as it's just better at a certain function based upon its design. And so I think the same, obviously the same thing is true when it comes to people, when it comes to gender, but without that and with the competition for resources, then again, you know, you have the discrimination and you have the marginalization, you have, you know, our history of, you know, women and children being property, of, you know, African Americans being property, of other people being property. And so without that shift to saying, no, there's no superiority or inferiority, we're just different and we have a different value. And let me seek to know you and you seek to know me. And then again, how do we work collaboratively in harmony?
Well, this is one of the challenges. You're exactly right. I'll give you an example. You know, women are, at heart, we're nurturers. And nurturing means that we are very creative. We grow things. So obviously we nurture children and families, but we also nurture business ideas. And you don't have that word in the business world that's run by men. And yet you wouldn't grow a garden without nurturing the seeds. So I think a lot of it is about really shifting the masculine mindset, the men's mindset, as to what is valuable. And you hit on that, you know, how can we prioritize what we want in the world? Whereas a man might say, no, 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 it's just about money. Don't worry, I'll get all the money and then you can do what you want. No, it's about really valuing what women bring to the party, including all the unpaid work that women do, all the social work, all the looking after elderly, all the things that are actually vital. Wise men do see that. So, you know, fortunately, it's not all men. But we've had this blueprint for so long, we have to really change the blueprint. And that's the challenge. You know, we could change it by destroying it and starting again, but that's going to be an extremely traumatic and painful experience. My pledge is to see how can we really constructively start putting things together, change systems that will actually impact women in a different way. And there are things that are part of the systemic way we do things in the world, which are just detrimental to women. You know, women are paid less. Women are expected to do all the chores in most families. You know, pension rights are less for women. There's so many things. Transport sometimes only is geared to men. You know, there's lots of very interesting, simple things in daily life that we could change. And I've been really studying this and looking at examples where countries have actually taken on board how does certain things impact women, mm-hmm. who have got this period of time where they may be having to deal with a family or may not and want to be in work. And really, I see it that we waste so much talent. That's the thing that gets me. It's like there's so much talent in our world. Men and women are like young people. You know, when young people are behaving badly, I think, God, you're just wasting your natural talent, which would make you feel joyful and actually be great in the world. So we have got some big conversations to deal with to create a joint custody world, because education, parenting, social justice, there's so many things that are geared towards the male blueprint. And I think men are feeling quite scared, to be honest, at the moment, and they probably wouldn't admit it. Mm-hmm. And we need them to step into what I call a much more wise place. And I was looking at wise with a colleague. I think it's about willingness, interest, sensitivity, and empathy. That's what to me a wise man says, I really value women. I may not understand them, but I value them as part of this world that we're creating differently.
So, you know what? So one, I just want to go on record as saying this conversation is not a male bashing conversation. No. This conversation is one where we're taking a look at how things are and why things are and what's working, what's not, and how do we move ourselves into a place of harmony so that things do work. And so I just, you know, want to comment on what you said a couple, which is one, there has to, when you were saying about wasting talent, there has to be a recognition that the person has talent. Otherwise, there's not a perception that it's being wasted because there's not even a recognition that it exists. So, you know, when we see people in limited ways, or even when we see ourselves in limited ways, then the perception is you can only do this, or I can only do this. So I think that's the other aspect to it. But I tell you what, let's take a break, and then we come back, we're going to pick up on this. All right.
Yeah.
Heaven abounds in you, enlightens, uplifts, inspires, and invites you to live a life that's engaged, joyous, and limitless. The sweet spot of life. Take this journey in oneness. We are and have all that God, the infinite creative source of the universe, is. You are infinite potentiality, and the kingdom of heaven is within you. Heaven abounds in you.
I'm your host, Dr. Balan A. Durr. Today, I'm having a conversation with my guest, Dr. Pauline Crawford, and we are talking about how women can create a joint custody world with men in order to bring things back into harmony. And before the break, you know, saying to, you know, realistically, this is not a male bashing conversation, but it is a conversation to identify how we got here, why things are out of whack, and how do we get things back on track. And I personally love men. I have a village of men folk, and I tell folks I'm a huge fan of African American men. I love them. So I have a village of men that I have spent much time having conversations with, seeking their counsel. And also, but learning about them in terms of understanding how they think and move in the world. And so one of the things that you mentioned earlier when you were talking about, again, how men and women, we communicate differently, and the fact that men think we talk too much. And, you know, after a long time, again, of having these conversations with them and getting to know men and understanding how they think and move, one of the things I realized about that is not only that we speak in narratives and that men speak in bullet points, but the other issue is, frankly, I think one of the things that they mean, but they don't necessarily say it directly, is when they say women talk too much, is that we also wait too long, or much longer than they do, before we take action, right? Because they're not going to spend a whole lot of time talking before they take action.
Well, absolutely. And that's the thing, is men tend to talk on topic and want action. Some men are more observant, you know, they're more of observers. I call them my philosophers. They're the ones at the table who are stepping back, but they will come in at the end and summarize everything beautifully. And then the other man is action man. And women do things in a different way. And we've got this thing around and, you know, we call it multitasking, but we tend to do and this and that and that and that. And most men find that really, really difficult to handle. So what are you going to do? It's either or. So that's a very basic thing. But if we said we need a world where we need both, and we learn that that language is different, then we allow ourselves to come together. So if you look at nature, there are some animals that shouldn't be in the same pen together. You know, one animal might eat another.
I was going to say, is that because they're predator and prey?
Yeah, there are certain animals that can live together, but they're very different. So we can do the same thing. And by really tuning in to the differences in the room, I believe we get more magnificence. You know, it's like people will say, oh, you know, you shouldn't base everything on differences. No, differences are wonderful. You know, trees are different. Animals are different. Human beings are different. That's the magic. It's, I always say your superpower is getting to know other people who are not like you. And when you do that with wonder and interest and excitement and value, I do think that sometimes we desperately want to understand each other. And I say to people, well, just value people. Maybe you don't need to understand them, you need to value them. And you know, you could be even saying, gosh, I don't know, I don't really understand how you do that, but I like it. And then we start putting things together. And I think that's maybe the difference between the very 2,000 years of desperate competition and aggression and, you know, business and money and everything that's been the theme of economies. And now we're in this place where it's about hybrid working and AI and valuing life. It's a very different world. It's also a very troubled world. And that's why we need to be careful not to judge and get caustic, because that ends up in violence. And I don't see that violence ever solves anything.
Yeah, so I think you make some great points. And again, I just wanted to, I try to use, again, an actual example to help ground people in the truth and helping them see, oh yeah, that's why that's true. Meaning that, again, our bodies are made up of 60 trillion cells, and they all listen to each other and work cooperatively. But in doing so, they're also specialized, right? We come from one cell. Everything that we are comes from one cell that then differentiates and becomes all the rest of the 60 trillion. And they all have their own job. They also have their own purpose. So some become our skin, some become, you know, organs like the heart, the liver, the lungs, you know, the kidneys, you know, others become the GI system, or, you know, the cardiovascular system, all these systems. But it's because they are unique, because they are different. Yeah. With a different function, but working collaboratively together, that we've become this complex organism that is able not only to survive and to thrive. And so I think if we could again get that shift to occur, to see, like you said, that the difference doesn't mean has no value. Difference just has a different value than you. Yeah. Right. So, and I think you brought up this wonderful point about non-judgment. So let's go ahead. And what are the specific approaches that you recommend taking? So how women and men can create a joint custody world. And you mentioned, I know you already mentioned non-judgment, which non-judgment is a major spiritual principle. Non-judgment, non-attachment, non-resistant, and they're all intimately intertwined. So why do you think that the non-judgment is so critical to this process?
I think because it allows us time and space to receive what's around us. Because when we're judgmental, we have already made decision. It's like, you know, when we're listening to somebody, but we're not really listening because we're already deciding what we're going to say next. It doesn't flow. It doesn't grow. So when we're looking to expand, we can't do it if we judge everything. Now, we can have some opinions and we have an ability to learn from our experiences. So it's not about not having perspectives, but there's there's three P's I will introduce. We have our perceptions, which are things that we've develop probably from our whole lifetime. What's the perception that I have because I'm a British grandmother, entrepreneur in my 70s, you know? And then I have perspectives which I've tuned in over to the world of change, and I like to share my perspectives. So they're not set in stone, they're not judgments, but they're perspectives. And then there's preferences. So the preferences in how I want to be in my own learned culture. So all these things are different, but essentially it's about tuning into yourself. So what you said is really important, is that this body we have is a vital part of our lives. And I think a lot of people live in an external world and don't recognize the choices they have walking around with their own body. So when I say to people, you know, whose body did you bring here today? And they kind of look at me and I go, well, you know, you don't have to be the label you're given at work. You don't even have to be the label of grandma or mother. You know, I'm a grandmother and a mother and an entrepreneur and a world traveler. I can be myself in all those different roles. Now, externally, people may judge one, but don't be the judger. Be the sharer of your valuable experiences. So when you actually create a constructed magical conversation, which I do with my
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I just want to clarify a little bit, because I know in my own conversations with people, they will confuse when I'm saying don't judge with that is the same as don't evaluate or assess what I'm doing and how it's working or not. And I was saying to them, no, I don't, I'm not saying that at all. You absolutely need to. And I say more than saying what's good and, you know, what's good or bad is also what's working and what's not working. And what works now may not work for a different moment in a different situation. So it's obvious, it's very important to make ongoing evaluation and assessments.
Absolutely.
And then to make changes. But it's but that's still different than the judging and the criticizing. So if you would just go ahead and just elaborate what you mean by that.
Well, there's a critical thing to do here, which is to take ownership. So rather than being judgmental about something like, I think this and this is the only thing that's possible and you're wrong, you know, that's very judgmental. But I would say, well, actually, in my experience, this is what I feel is happening. So we can take ownership of our opinion without forcing it on somebody else. So I see judgment as a very aggressive place to be in a conversation. Now, that's not to say we shouldn't have a criminal justice system which has judges and things like that. There are absolutes. But just to take notice of how often you say I with ego or you say I with ownership. So this is what I own, and this is how I see the world. Please share how you see the world. Now, maybe that world comes together in that space of conversation, and maybe it doesn't. It doesn't mean that every magical conversation will always be in agreement, but it's about sharing of the tapestry that you're putting together. So ownership is really important, and then value. How do we value other people's perspectives, other people's lives, other people's cultures? You know, we women have a different culture to men, and each of us are born into a different culture, family-wise, nation-wise, hereditary-wise. All those things are magical if we make them so. So when you build a connection with somebody, it's because there's something you connect. So it could be we connect because we're women. We might connect because we both happen to live in America at the moment. We might connect because we both have a love of pasta. You know, I mean, there could be lots of things that we connect in.
But you know, or on a more what I call the, you know, the soul connection is if I sense just the amazing spiritual being that you are and have such high regard for that as I do for you. Cause I just, like I said, I sense your energy and just your way of being in the world. And I'm just like, you know, this, the fabulous Dr.
Well,
Dr. Crawford, the fabulous Dr. Crawford.
It's so important. This is, you know, is to love everybody in the world. And that sounds like, you know, but that's the spiritual journey. That's a spiritual journey of understanding that we are all spirits in the human body. We are all here for a reason. There's a reason that you and I have met. It's a reason that I've been given this journey. And if we desire so much to be in a future where there's more harmony and more respect, especially for women, because women are generally marginalized more than men, I feel, looking at the facts, that is that world possible? Our belief in it is going to be a major component of whether it ever happens, because the negative person is going to say, oh, you know, you must be crazy. And that might be a man or a woman or a young person or an old person. And we've got to stand strong in
sometimes,
that.
Sometimes the human race is we just straight up cray cray. And what I mean by that is, you know, it's just cray cray, as I call it, is actually dysfunction. You know, or just, you know, some, but we just sometimes the way we see things or distort things. It's just like, it's crazy as hell the way we see things at times.
Well, it's very important to remember that it's okay to not be okay on occasion. Mm-hmm. This is not about, you know, it's not about, you know, a kumbaya future, everything's going to be fine, I don't need to bother about anything, blah, blah, blah. No, it's about caring about what energy you're putting out in the day and how you see the energy of your country and your world. And thinking specifically of women, we unfortunately know the facts that, you know, many women, half of the world, many women are in very negative situations and they don't feel they have a voice. So I really want to write that without men feeling that they're being put down. And I'll just tell you that when I started talking a couple of years ago, saying, let's say goodbye to equality, hello, harmony, I got a very good response from men and women, because harmony lifts us, whereas equality has trouble zones. You know, we do want some equal opportunities. We do want equality. But we've got to remember that words are like daggers and swords, or they can be cloaks and hugs. We need to look at the words that will nurture the world, because that, in our heart, I think women are here to nurture the world back to health.
Yeah, and to your point, the same word to you can have a different meaning to me. And so I've recently had a conversation with, again, one of the men folk in the village, and he didn't like the word equality either. And so I get it. So, you know, so just to be clear, so what are some of the specific obstacles that are existing right now to the harmony? Of course, we've talked about, judgment.
Yes.
What are some of the other obstacles?
Well, I think there's also fear. You know, people are afraid. I think sometimes when people get very angry and violent is because they're afraid. If you look at the nature of aggression, it's not a good, healthy place to be. And, you know, when you start looking at being strongly assertive or softly assertive, there's a whole range of activities. So recognizing words that upset, like criticism, you know, And criticism can sometimes be an unconscious bias because somebody is different to you. So that the man at the table who says, no, I don't want to hear what you're saying at the moment. It might just be he's got an agenda where he just doesn't fit that in. And she's sitting there going, oh, he hates me. Because we made an assumption about what that word passage is. So when I work with people, I say, you know, be very careful of the words you say. And tune in to other people's words and you will get this bond. As soon as you get the bond, you can start growing more richness in the conversation and dialogue. And you can even delve into areas that are tricky, politics, religion, sex, all those things that are difficult to talk about. But you need to have the basic bond first. And I should do an exercise with groups where I put them in pairs and say, just talk about something topical like holidays or food. And you get pairs talking together for a bit. And after 15 minutes, every couple will have a connection. And they'll all come back to the room and say, oh, you wouldn't believe it. We both love Greece, or we both went to Portugal. And suddenly they're best buddies.
Yeah. And, you know, I wanted to also provide some clarity about what you were saying about anger, which is one of the difficulties about anger is that it literally drops the IQ by as much as 30 points, because the more advanced part of the brain, which is the frontal part of the brain, which is where the thinking and executive planning and abstract thinking and impulse control and all those things occur. When we get really angry, it's the blood gets actually shunted to the more primitive part of the brain, which I call lizard brain. But it's, you know, where the amygdala and the memories and that fear and our subconscious blueprint and programming exists. So that is the blood flow gets shifted to the, you know, more primitive part of the brain. And that's what takes over. And so that's when, so then we're operating off the subconscious programming and just, you know, just reacting instead of actually being able to stop and think, you know, pump the brake in order to let that higher thinking part of the brain act for you instead of, you know, lizard brain acting out of fear.
Well, I love that because I've just recently started the practice of going down to my patio in the morning and doing some cycling on a little pedal thing. Usually I just pick up my telephone and go straight into messages. And when I wake up, even if I want to pick my telephone up, I don't. I go down, and even if I'm still half asleep, I get on this pedal thing and I feel so much better just in 10 minutes because it's got this the blood pumping around my body. And you're absolutely right. I think that we need to take notice of our own nature and how all these things go together. But if we do that, then we go out into the world to face conflicts or danger, then we'll be much more prepared. It's very foolish. You wouldn't send the military out into a danger zone without being prepared. And yet many people don't prepare their own body for the difficult conversations they might have in a day. And they let those conversations drain them. And I think, you know, I wrote down recently, men are often quick to temper and anger, and maybe women come to the boil, but when they boil, they really go for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. my mother would talk about my grandparents at times. And so he would say, you know, that with my grandmother, that she would just let things go and go and go. And then when she reached that point, he's like, Joe, did you just plant your feet like a Georgia mule? So, you know, I tell you what, we got just a short time left before we go to break. So just also quickly, and then we'll pick this up afterwards. What are some of those other obstacles that, you know, prevent the harmony that we need for a joint custody world?
I think one of the major obstacles is we really don't think about where other people are coming from. Mm. And we haven't got a magic wand to see inside everybody, but we do have an ability to know that people are different. So the way you see the world is not the way everybody else sees the world. Mm-hmm. So it's always important to ask for clarity and maybe share perceptions about how you see somebody else. And that's why I study these different archetypes and I get people to really have fun understanding different archetypes and playing with them. And my dream would be to get kids to learn this right from school so that we didn't have difficult people. So I say to people, there's no such thing as a difficult person, and people get very upset with me. But I say, look, it's a difficult situation, not necessarily a difficult person, because we all know difficult people, and we all have difficult situations, but we're part of it. So
I think part of that, though, is, again, that people confuse who they are with behavior. And absolutely. So you can have difficult behavior and you can have behavior that's negative and harmful, but that's not the person. The person is the person taking the action or the behavior. And so, if we could remember that, I think that, too, helps to ease, you know, the interaction. You know, I can say I love you, but I don't care for some of your behavior, right?
Absolutely. And I think it's really important that we very sensitively call out people's different reactive behaviors. Because I always say to people, you know, when things are going fantastically, you don't need to know this stuff. It's when it goes wrong that it's wrong.
Yes. Okay, so I tell you what, let's take a break and then we come back and we'll pick things up.
Heaven Abounds in You takes you on an inward journey of discovery that dramatically transforms your outward experience of life. Discover the power of belief. Utilize it in connection with science to create a vision of meaning and purpose that pulls you forward. Let go of the meager me to discover the magnificent me. Let go of your painful past and live life free from fear, worry, and stagnation. Experience an abundant universe as you powerfully create happiness, relationships, health, and limitless opportunities. When you heal your mind, all things are possible.
Dr. Balan A. Durr here, and today I am joined by my guest, Dr. Pauline Crawford, and she is the author of The Power of Authentic Harmony. And again, today we are talking about how women and men can create a joint custody world through harmony. And, you know, I have a couple of things that I wanted to actually read from your book that speaks to some of the things that you said. So, you know, you were talking about understanding the person's perceptions, and we're also talking about, you know, seeing the value in each person, because each person has it. So, you know, on one place in your book, page 45, you said, "Make no assumptions and tell no lies." I love that. "In the moment, always be ready to respond to the unknown, the impossible, and the magical. That will make possible all that you wish for." And so I have to say, one of the reasons I love that, it actually reminds me again, one of the men folk in my village, Anthony Williams, I lovingly called him Master Yoda, because, you know, he's a master teacher of mine. And he says, when a man tells you something, don't add nothing and don't take nothing away. You know, and I think that is a lot of the difficulties that we have in the conversations, because we have our own meanings of things. And as you said, and we don't even hear what the other person said. Instead of, we project our own meaning to it, and then we don't bother to ask for clarification. So then we're having an entirely different conversation. So, and then the other on page 52, you said, "Value the I am within. Be at peace with others. Welcome them with joy. And know their true value looks you in the eye." So again, speak to those things in terms of what is it that we need to do, especially as women, to create this joint custody world with men in order to, you know, bring back the harmony and the balance.
Absolutely. So let's think about the orchestra. The orchestra has all sorts of different instruments in it. So the violins and the percussion and the drums, and yet it makes this music, but it all comes in different times. So I think we have to be really honest with ourselves. You know, this idea of never lie. And you might say, oh, maybe I can't tell the truth. But at any point in time, can you say, I don't feel happy about that, but without explanation? I think women are over anxious. I've had that in my life, to try and explain why I'm saying sorry or I'm not happy. Whereas sometimes it's just being, you know, this is the way I'm being. And my granddaughter once said to me, when she was six, over an argument about which book to read, she said, "You don't know my life and I don't know your life." Mm-hmm. And it really resonated with me, is that often people think they're right. Most often people think they're right. So when you're saying, "Hey, I don't understand that, I don't agree," if we back down, then we're not being truthful, but we don't need to say everything. I always say to people, say your truth and then walk away. I did this even with my mother. Famously, she was challenging me over a religious aspect of my life. And I just said, "Well, actually, that's the way it is. Would you like a cup of tea?" And she went, "Oh, yes, dear." And I walked out the room going... But I told my truth, but I didn't stay in it. You know, I think, you know, when I hear people getting very...
You did not try to drag her into the light of your truth.
No. And that's what we've got at the moment, is, you know, so many people stick to the rules, even in the workplace or even parentally or children, you know, "Oh, but that's the way it is." Maybe it is, but just don't go down that route and get more embroiled in something that's actually going to be upsetting for you. So telling the truth doesn't mean you have to spill everything all at once. Because if you do, you might harm somebody. Mm-hmm. But I think be very aware of your base value, which is about life, that life is valuable. So somebody might have a very different opinion to you, one that's polar opposite. You don't need to say, yes, you're right. Just say, well, that's an interesting perspective, and walk away. You know, we're leaving it in a void, but that's okay. We don't have to. If we stay in it, then we stay in that anger, and we stay in that real harsh feeling that we're hurting somebody. Most people don't want to hurt other people. I think women in particular don't really want to hurt people. But often we allow.
Although, you know, there are times when we want to lay hands on people and cover them in the blood.
Well, it's so interesting, isn't it? Because you think about how many women are abused in the world. Mm-hmm. And you challenge, you think, you know, why are we letting that happen? We, in the general sense, because it's just wrong. You know, for me, anything that harms, that's why I like the word harmony, because if anything harms, a word or a deed or a vicious action, mm-hmm. it's not right. It's destroying life. But many people, I think, don't realize the harm they do. So let's look at that aspect of life. And the other one about the I am, it's not I am as in ego, it's as I am, and I'm a human being, you know, and
I'm a spiritual being that, or an energy being that is connected to all things and everyone, because they too are made of energy.
Absolutely. And for people who can't quite grab that yet, make it very practical. You know, yes. As I said, you know, whose body are you working around in? Oh, right. Well, and then take them into that route of, so how valuable is your life? What do you love about your life? Oh, I don't love everything. Well, there must be something. Oh, well, I quite like the blue sky. Okay, let's start there. Any tiny bit that can make somebody feel valuable, because we know there's a lot of narcissistic activity in the world where people are put down. And sadly, that's often in our own families, let alone in the political world. But
yeah,
we are.
So you know what? So here's the thing. I'm just going to just say this, and then let folks know where they can contact you. Mm-hmm. Again, I think we need to use the same principles that you're talking about with ourselves,
yes,
in addition to with other people, because when we are in conflict internally, that conflict is going to come out in our interactions with other people. And so it may really have nothing to do with the other person except the fact that they hit a trigger. But the trigger is out. I mean, it's our trigger, so it's ours to deal with and to heal. So I think that you of course made some beautiful points, some real practical approaches for people, both for themselves individually, but also in others that they come into contact with. And so really, again, what we're talking about, as you said, is the having the balance between the masculine and the feminine, because they both have value, and absolutely, therefore both are needed in order to have harmony. Did I get that?
Absolutely. Right. And I wrote down that, you know, like you talked about the body, every part of our life is an important aspect of who we are. How we deal with it is what's going to make it the I am. Love yourself, not in an ego sense, but just love what you do during the day. Do you smile at people? Do you go out into the fresh air? Do you just have a nice cup of coffee? Whatever you do to help you feel good, that's okay. And you might have a very deep spiritual practice, but you need to have an honor in yourself about love. Love and fear are the only two energies in the world. And if we love, then maybe we can reduce the fear that's happening in our external world. And so we may not be able to, but we do it here.
So how do folks get in contact with you?
My contact is on LinkedIn. I'm very prominent on LinkedIn. I like to write a lot of stories on there about joint custody world. And I'm also on Facebook and Instagram. And my corporate website is Corporate Heart International. That is about the heart of business. So, and I'm sure if anybody is really good at social media, they will find me.
So thank you so much, Goddess Dr. Pauline Crawford, for joining me today for this conversation. And of course, please come back another time.
I would love to. There is much to do in the world, and we can do it together. I would love that.
Absolutely. I am your host, Dr. Balin A. Durr, awakening and empowering you to live out your infinite potential, to live life in the sweet spot. I'll see you next week. Thank you for joining us today in the sweet spot. Share, follow, and like us on social media. To learn more, please visit BalinADurrMD.com, spelled BalinADurrMD.com. Join us next week, and remember, when you heal your mind, all things are possible.